Hello and welcome to PokeSports Competitive Pokemon Podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one episode until episode 100 on the field.
I'm Kevin. I got a Roomba this week.
What?
I got a Roomba.
I see it. Wow, that's so funny. I see it in frame. It's right there.
Yeah.
Why would you put it against the wall?
I'm limited on space.
I guess.
Well, that's actually where that is.
That is where Roombas should go, I guess.
You know they know where their home is?
Yes.
It's like,
yeah, it gives a little beacon.
Yeah.
Did you get one of those things too where like you can put it on the floor and it tells it where not to go?
Oh no. That sounds like capitalism is trying to make me buy something I don't need. Doesn't it just hit itself on the head and learn not to go there again?
Yeah, but like if it go, maybe it's gotten smarter since I bought it like maybe 8 years ago. But when I first got it, it came with this little thing that stood up. You put it down on the floor. It gives off this little beacon that points in direction, and it wouldn't go past the line of where the arrow was pointing. So you'd put that near like the stairs if you ever had like a drop off down the stairs. So the Roomba would go over to it, and rather than tumble itself down, it'll be like, okay, this is a wall. It treated it like a wall, and it would turn around and do its thing.
It's an invisible wall.
Wall.
That's interesting. I mean, I think they probably did get a lot smarter because mine hits its head and then on the phone app is like a drawing of my room. Like it makes a visual map of my room in the app. So it learns where things are by hitting it. Yeah.
Roombas have gotten so much better. I got my mom one for Christmas in like 2012. I need a new one, I guess.
Needed update.
Welcome to PokeSports, everybody, a competitive Roomba podcast. We put two Roombas on the field. They charge toward each other, and the first one to turn, well, that one loses.
That would be like the longest fight ever, because they'd hit each other and then turn around and then not meet each other again for at least 10 minutes.
By the way, Roombas are absolutely electric steel, right? Most technology is.
Electric steel? What does that even mean? Type. Oh, Pokemon.
You know, Pokemon, right?
Is there a plastic type? I guess electric toxic.
Plastic type.
My state's banning plastic bags, and I don't know if I should start hoarding them or not.
Oh, we've done that a long time ago. We banned them technically, but they still give them out.
Okay,
can never fully ban that. Yeah.
Here's a question. Like, how do you pick up like dog stuff
with
outside?
Plastic?
So you could still get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a plastic.
It's scaring me. I'm like, I don't want to have to use reusable bags to pick up my cat litter.
It does degrade. It does degrade.
Oh.
Like it breaks apart. It just takes a couple weeks to do that. Don't you have like natural waste bags? Do you not? What is America, man?
This is America.
Wow. Anyway, folks, it's episode 99, which means, of course, that it is the Kingler episode. Last episode was aptly the Krabby episode, where Kevin and I were just all kinds of crabby. But we love Pokemon now, turns out. So for the rest of the year, we love Pokemon. So if you came to this podcast to dish on Pokemon and all of your gripes with it, this ain't the place anymore. Fellas, ladies,
we're a bunch of optimists.
We are a bunch of optimists. Pokemon is the best game franchise that will forever be in a evolving state toward being competitive. And that's what we're here for at PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. Now, this is, of course, the waiting room for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, which does come out this, Friday. You're actually able to download the game right now. You're able to buy and download the game right now. Put it on your Switch. Comes with its day one patch, which we'll get to today. And you can just kind of have it. You'll be good to go right at 12 o'clock on Friday. For me, I'm going to be traveling on Thursday and Friday, so I'll make sure I download that early.
Oh, you're downloading it? I'm waiting for physical. I mean, yeah.
I know how much you're on the physical kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy just bought like all new stickers for all of his games that he now just has in front of him. he's staring at them. They're like disintegrating in front of you.
It's okay. But yeah, see, that worries me because I have them pre-ordered on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But like, I would really appreciate it if I actually got them the day of. I don't know how good Amazon is. This is like the first time I'm getting a game, a Pokemon game from Amazon. I usually just go to Best Buy, go to a midnight release, and then go home play. But I don't feel like doing that this time. Because that's also a lot of commitment.
Midnight releases.
There was for Sword and Shield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the last one I went to. Well, that was 2 years ago. I think 2 years ago to this day, I think there was a post that said something like that. Like, Sword and Shield is 2 years old. What day are we today?
This is the 15th. I think that's actually today.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Pokemon Sword and Shield release date. Answer to that is, yes, November 15th, 2019.
Happy birthday, Mike. This is also our anniversary. Yay, we made it.
I mean, we started with the pre-show, which is exactly what this is, where we banter and get ready for the game and get hyped for it.
I will say my opinion has completely changed. For those of you that don't listen to the Peach because you're not patrons, and you definitely should be because you get a lot of secret information there.
Secrets.
I managed to get the game early, mm-hmm. which, I mean, oh well.
Which I take issue with for the people who actually use that, like, to their advantage, for their competitive advantage.
Yes.
I don't like that. I don't like that. What Kevin's going to do and what he has to do, and everybody who has it right now has to do, they're basically going to be starting again once the game comes out. It's an easy game anyway. It's not, everybody knows it's not going to be hard.
See, I mean, pirating games, not a good thing. I feel a little less bad about it because I'm still going to buy both games anyway.
You're going incredibly hard.
Yeah, I guess I'm playing three times. I mean, if anything, I might be able to keep one shut and never open it. And then in 20 years, when people are going to be like, I really want to play BDSP, I'll have the game.
I wonder how many copies of this game are actually going to be printed. I wonder if it matters anymore since, like, you can download them.
I mean, you could download ROMs too.
Yes, but that's completely different from the stuff that you download off of the eShop that you've bought with your own money.
Oh, that's true. But here's what I'm worried about, right? And I was thinking about this on the car ride home today. You know how this game is being shipped very poorly? Like, the shipped version of the game is not the final version of the game. Like, you have the MIDI music and you have a bunch of bugs.
Yeah.
People that just keep it sealed will never get the day one patch one day in the future where, Switch Online no longer supported.
Oh, no.
You think about that? Yeah, I was thinking about that today. Games that are shipped with day one patches, if you hold them and never play them, then you're just playing the unfinished game.
You're
forever.
Saying if they discontinue
Switch Online one day.
Support for the Nintendo Switch, Switch Online. Yeah. And you're unable to download the day one patch or any patches for that matter of the game. You are getting a completely garbage version of Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Just so everybody knows, the shipped version of the game, like Kevin was saying, it requires a day one patch, which is going to happen on the actual day of release. And on that day one patch, that's when you get things like the new music, which I don't know why it hasn't been in the shipped version. Maybe it was because it was too big. Maybe because it wasn't done, but that's what's going to replace all of the currently MIDI trumpet music that is in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. And so that's what you're going to get if you seal up your copy in a safety deposit box for the next 20, 30 years, hoping to make bank off of this.
Yeah. That's a little, I mean, welcome to 2021. Back in the day, your game had to be good before it was released.
Well, there are a lot of things different about 2021. I thought you were going to say that where everybody's just hoarding their games for money later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a point to I feel like I went off on a tangent. My point is, I was completely against BDSP and I was not looking forward to it. And I think it was going to be bad. My opinion has changed, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay. Okay.
Leak free. My opinion has changed.
Leak free.
I was not
free, but we will. Yes. Leak free. But we will tell you the things that we know, the things that I know, because I have stayed completely spoiler free. And the things that the internet knows, because that is the stuff that has been not leaked, but more announced. Things like version exclusives, things like what was it in the other game? The Romana's Park,
the Pal Park.
Pal Park. Is it the Pal Park?
Yeah, okay. We both said it, so it had to exist.
It must be. Two people say something at the same time. It must be truth. So yeah, that we'll be talking about the Romana's Park. A couple of interesting screenshots that have been taken during the course of advertising for this game.
Some mystery
gifts. And of course, some esports stuff as well, because what is Pokesports without esports? There's also mystery gifts stuff. That's right. So let's start with the esports stuff. We're going to go from Sword and Shield, transition into BDSP. I will let you know that there's a gym challenge that finished registration just last week. And I want to tell you about it because it's actually pretty interesting. There was a singles battle format that was released on online on Pokemon Sword and Shield, but it was called the Gym Challenge. And the gimmick is that you were only able to use Pokemon that were used by the gym leaders of Galar.
That sounds very limiting.
It's incredibly limiting, but actually, when you think about it, and when you look at the list of Pokemon, which I will do for you right now, here you go. This is your list of Pokemon. It's actually quite extensive.
Wait, why?
It goes for a long time.
Who gave these gym leaders all these Pokemon? Oh, I guess you get the. Wait,
I'll give you a little sampler. All right. We've got Ninetales, Arcanine, Machamp, Ponyta, Rapidash, Gengar, Weezing, Goldeen, Seeking, Lapras, Blossom, Quagsire, Shuckle, Hitmontop, Tyranitar, Ludicolo, Shiftry, Pelipper, Gardevoir, Sableye. And then there's like another, about two times what I had just said. And you can use Gigantamaxes here as well. And all of the gym leaders have a Pokemon that can Gigantamax.
There ain't no way these gym leaders had this much Pokemon. How is that possible? There's only eight of them. Eight times six does not equal a billion. I mean, I guess we got to battle them twice in this game. And I think with, what was it, Isle of Armor, Crown Tundra, there was like some side quest that no one actually did where they can go back and battle with gym leaders again.
Right.
There was something like that. So maybe they brought in some new Pokemon that whole time and I was just ignorant to it because I never did it. But hey, interesting. First thing I'm looking at is like Belly Drum Ice Skew in singles. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Quagsire is always a fun thing in singles with Unaware. Sylveon's a good choice in singles. Hatterene is a good choice in singles. Sirfetch'd is really fun in singles, surprisingly. Runerigus also is just super fun.
Let's not forget about Galarian Darmanitan. Double choice ban. Let's go.
Oh man, I mean
that was the first Ubers, yeah, those first Ubers right there.
You best believe that is 100% a Pokemon that was on everybody's team. I'm curious which Gigantamax was actually used though. I would have loved to get the stats on that. I feel like Gigantamax Lapras is probably the only like decent one there.
The only good one in singles, I feel, maybe you can get away with a Hatterene, but nothing beyond that.
Right. It's like you see the Colossal there, and it's like, yeah, we all know the Colossal thing that everybody does, but you do that in VGC. You can't do that in singles.
Yeah. Unless you're just like praying that your opponent hits you with something that's a water move. I mean, I guess you could switch in, but like
But you can't switch into a Gigantamax Colossal.
Nope.
But no, you do have a point that, like, I guess if you really timed it out well, you can switch into a Colossal, but you're going to have to do a lot of mind games there.
I mean, I didn't play this, to be entirely honest, but this definitely seems like any restricted decks is always going to make for some fun times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a shame that they're deciding to, like, restrict this decks, but they're not getting creative with VGC. But hey, we've complained about it enough.
there are some Pokemon that really benefit from a restricted decks mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily, like, top tier Pokemon by virtue, right? Like, if you look at say Obstagoon, which I have been a major fan of since day one, Golisopod is huge in singles if there are a lot of Pokemon missing, because there are a lot of Pokemon that can ruin it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Scrafty. Scrafty is just a great Pokemon in general.
I feel like Scrafty was one of the hardest hit Pokemon once fairy types were a thing.
100%.
But I mean, looking at this list, you don't got a lot of fairies. I lied. You do have a couple fairies.
Oh, you came across the fairy gym leader, I see.
I came across Sylveon and I immediately kept scrolling. I was like, oh no, there's Mimikyu. Mm-hmm. Oh no, there's Hatterene. Oh no, there's Grimmsnarl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, fairies.
Fairies, exactly. It's a little sad too that, like, some of these Pokemon that are being used in this are just not going to be there in the next possibly competitive format, which is BDSP.
Mm-hmm.
Scrafty won't be there. Scrafty's Gen 5. Makes me real sad.
Bye, Sylveon Scrafty. Won't be there either. Rest in peace, Sylveon.
I have a lot of moments looking through the list of Pokemon that are in Gen 5 where I'm like, oh yeah, they're just... They were a Gen 5 thing. They haven't been around forever. BDSP is going to come around and they're just going to go bye-bye.
Hey, if Ilka does a good job, maybe they'll do a Gen 5 remake. This will be the easiest thing for Game Freak to just be like, guess we never have to make a remake again.
You handle the remakes.
Yeah, yeah, and guess what? This is yours. Just mm-hmm. give them the projects mm-hmm. they don't want to do.
Exactly. Now, for VGC, of course, we have said before, we'll say it again, that VGC is going to continue in Sword and Shield. However, not necessarily in Asia, which is super interesting. JJ Kuhn, an esports caster from Asia, tweeted the other day that Asia will have an actual official VGC circuit for BDSP next year. Then follows that up by saying, thanks, the Pokemon Company. Ha 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 ha. All in caps.
You see, that's just not fair. I mean, Play Pokemon, take notes. Like, I know, like, Play Pokemon has nothing to do with what Pokemon in Asia does.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds so much fun to have, like, an actual competitive format in BDSP. Especially early on where people can't just, you know, gen right away, you know, because you need support. So it's going to be real cool for people to actually get creative and, you know, maybe have to use some in-game stuff to play competitively.
See, but what's interesting, too, is that this is managed by ESL. Have you heard of ESL before?
That sounds like I should have. That's like a major esport thing.
That's right. That's right. And you don't necessarily come from
Dota do that?
Other. Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
That's why you might have heard of the Intel Extreme Masters, IEM. So they have run major tournaments for, like, Dota 2, Counter-Strike, a bunch of other games. I think Rocket League's in there as well. And they're actually the ones who are going to be bringing in Pokemon. So completely out of TPC's hands, because again, TPC doesn't really do all that much in Asia. But ESL is actually going to be bringing in BDSP for this.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been some Gen 4s. Hey, I don't mind.
They really like Diamond and Pearl.
I don't mind. Well, what's a little bit sketch is that this, it looks like the tournament qualifier is going to be January 2022 and the tournament playoffs are going to be February 2022. That's already Legends time. So it's cool that it's happening, but it's next year. I get it. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Legends technically shouldn't interfere with BDSP being played competitively because Legends can't be played competitively. There's no support between players in Legends, if I believe.
No.
It's completely single player experience. So I guess not that big of a deal, but it's going to be hard to argue. Why should I be playing BDSP when I could be using this Bascu Legion back in Sword and Shield? Because it's going to be home support, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Once that becomes a thing and once home support for BDSP becomes a thing and we get, you know, Gen 4 Pokemon inside Sword and Shield, if that ever happens, then there's definitely a reason to go back to Sword and Shield and go and play like that. But I feel like it would be an interesting, we were talking about this before the show. I feel like it would be an interesting, not game mechanic, but I guess meta to participate in like a Gen 4 VGC. Cause things are different things are different in this version, right? Like we have, fairy types. Fairy types are in BDSP.
Yeah.
Like that's just a thing.
Just the fairy types that existed before Gen 4, but yeah, the ones that they reworked into fairies. So you got your Azumarills, your Gardevoirs, Clefables, Togekiss. Yeah, that is strange because I remember I didn't play competitive Gen 4 by any means, but I can tell you how oppressive Pokemon like Tyranitar were back in Generation 4. That was like a top tier Mon right there.
Right.
And now you got fairies as just like an extra way to deal with Tyranitar and just like take the dark typing and kind of push it down a little bit, which is really what the fairy type was there to do. And just dragons in general.
Yep.
Salamence, knock that thing down. You got two dragon legendaries. At least now you have a little guard for that can take care of them.
You have something to do against them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think that it would be a very interesting meta because, you know, like not a lot of people were playing VGC back in, you know, the Gen 4 days, I assume as well.
It was Wild West.
Yeah, it was the Wild West. Everyone was just kind of getting used to it. Moves are different. Things have been reworked now. Like, not saying anything about this game, but I mean, there have been a lot of improvements to the way that, you know, skills interact and the ways that the abilities and moves interact with each other. And now we get to see that in a compressed format.
Mm-hmm. And for those that are wondering, the battling is still Gen 8 mechanics. So you're still getting dynamic speed and you're still getting Gen 8 moves. So dynamic speed in general is another way that the meta can change a lot from Gen 4 to BDSP. Because remember, I forget that we played in a time where Tailwind wasn't immediate.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wait until the next turn for anything different to change. That's so weird.
And we waited.
And we didn't complain about it because we didn't know any better.
Didn't even think about it. They didn't even think about it.
They were like, okay, speed changes next turn. We were like, oh, let's mega evolve my Manectric, but we got to protect turn one because speed changes next turn. It wasn't right. Speed changes immediately as we mega evolve.
It would have been impossible to do megas properly in Sword and Shield.
That's probably why they just said no.
Just specifically with dynamic speed change. They're just like, no, can't do it.
Nope. Sorry.
Just can't do it.
Maybe next year.
They'd be too fast. They're just too fast.
Well, yeah, you'd be taking your Metagross, making it base 70 to base, what is it, 110, 130?
A billion, Mega Meta- yeah.
Yeah.
Just base a billion. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, you know what? With that, let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about BDSP. We've got a lot more to cover, actually, with this. We'll talk about Romanus Park and some of the pre-release screenshots that we've got. All that and more when we come back in just a second. And we're back. Welcome back to PokeSports, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got version exclusives coming to Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I feel like version exclusives, correct me if I'm wrong, they didn't feel important in Sword and Shield, were they?
Maybe in the beginning they are. I mean, after a certain point, they're meaningless, right?
Right.
Because you have
gets trading and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you have friends, I hope, that have different versions than you. I typically am the person to get both versions and then play the first version. I decided to switch it up for Sword and Shield. Don't know why. went for Shield. By first version, I mean like, if the name is Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, I'll play Omega Ruby.
Omega Ruby.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm actually usually the opposite. I've gone blue. Oh, wow. I guess I really do.
Oh, look at you.
Like that.
You trendsetter.
Exactly like that. Oh, wow. Oh, I just learned something about myself. I don't know if I like it.
And then we're going against the grain this time because I'm going to be playing through Pearl and you're going to be playing through Diamond for our playthrough.
That's right. That's right. That might be why I didn't like Gen 4, because Gen 4 I did get Diamond. I went blue, then silver, then I think I got Ruby, but I didn't. No, you know what? No, I got Sapphire. Oh no. Oh no.
What'd you, black or white?
I got black.
Okay.
I got black. Okay. So you know, maybe I changed.
you cheated a little bit in there.
Yeah, of course. I got black too.
You did get Y, though.
X?
No, you got Y. Are you
Y?
I think you played Y on the channel.
Oh, no, I can't even remember because I think it was Y. But
I
was playing
X
with the blue X and Y DS, though. And so I was thinking the whole time that it was X. Anyway, I definitely got Moon. Yeah, wow. Well, Mike has
a
type.
Then he got you.
Oh, wow. I did get shit. Oh, my gosh.
Well, to answer your question, it does matter in the beginning because people, I think Darumaka was only in Sword, and I was really sad about it in the beginning. I remember being sad about it. But it wasn't that hard to find because I was just like, hey, Twitter. You know, it mattered
Twitter,
a lot more before.
Yeah.
But I think like the whole Pokemon formula of releasing two games at the same time, to be honest, no longer makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was like a early 2000s Game Boy kind of thing.
Yeah, back when it was hard to get the Pokemon and you kind of felt forced that if you wanted to catch them all, you'd have to buy both games.
Yeah.
You don't really have to do that anymore.
It's kind of just tradition at this point.
Yeah, the world is too global. Like, it's so easy to get these mons. It's just literally tradition. No other rhyme or reason about it, I feel. I mean, it's fun. It's not fun for my pockets, but it's fun.
I mean, there's also like wonder trading and all that kind of stuff. Not sure if that's in BDSP, but I mean, in Gen 7 and 8. I think 6 as well.
Yes, I think 6 is what started it.
Wow. Yes, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, just being able to send kind of whatever you want to whoever you want, you know, it's pretty good.
So what are the version exclusives? I know some of them are released.
So the ones that are released, there are quite a few more. Mm-hmm. But the ones that at least the public know about, you get the is it the dog trio? Is that what people call it? Raikou, Entei, Suicune?
Then they get mad and say that they're not dogs, they're cats. I guess the appropriate term is legendary beast trio.
All right, so you get the quadrupeds with
get the four-leggers.
Get the four-leggers with Ho-Oh.
Makes sense.
In Brilliant Diamond.
And Ho-Oh gave them life.
Exactly. And you get the legendary birds and Lugia in Pearl.
They had a movie together. Makes sense.
They definitely did enter show business around the same time.
I will say this. Just out of that, Diamond's already winning. Because Lugia, no offense to Mike who purchased Pokemon Silver, Lugia is a lot worse than Ho-Oh.
Oh yeah, it's trash.
Yeah, and then I guess you could say the same thing about Articuno and Moltres versus the legendary beast trio. Zapdos is pretty good. I'll give Zapdos a pass, but I see more instances where I'd rather have a Suicune and an Entei versus just one Zapdos.
Just one Zappy boy.
All yeah. alone.
Articuno, Moltres, not really a thing, in VGC at least. Articuno kind of sees a little bit of play in singles if you allow that. Moltres just is not good.
It's yeah. just not. It's just Ho-Oh, but worse.
Yeah, I guess so.
You got Ho-Oh on both sides.
Articuno has a very similar weakness where, like, yeah, although Moltres doesn't want to take water attacks, Articuno and Moltres both, like, really hate rock.
Yeah. And on top of it all, when your best move is Sheer Cold, you're not a good Pokemon.
No. Definitely don't want that. All right, moving on. Your fossils that you can collect. You can get a Kranidos and a Rampardos in Brilliant Diamond. You can get a Shieldon and a Bastiodon in Shining Pearl. Both of those not really useful. Rampardos slightly more useful.
Yeah, I will say, like, if I had to choose, you know, between dirt and slightly less dirt, mm-hmm. I would go for the more, you know, the dirt.
Yeah,
not great Pokemon. I'd go for, but
what's the word? Head Smash? Is that the one?
I would definitely go for Head Smash more than, you know,
Bastiodon does.
Yeah, it doesn't. It does nothing. Is what it does. That's right. The issue. Maybe if they gave it Body Press, they'd have a reason for all that defense. But what's the point? And I never understood this. And they love to do this for some reason with, like, Geodude and with Onix. What's the point of getting a Pokemon with ridiculously high defense sturdy? It almost never procs it. Its defense is too high. It's like having a Focus Sash on a Bastiodon. Why?
It's either sturdy or soundproof.
Oh boy, you know, my Bastiodon's biggest problems, hyper voice.
I can count on probably two of my hands, maybe a foot, the amount of times that soundproof has ever helped me. Ever. I rarely use it as it is, but the times that I do, you know, you toss out a Komo-o, and, you know, you just kind of hope that your opponent's going to be using a Bug Buzz or something. You're switching in to prevent some damage, maybe prevent the whole thing because you're soundproof. That's only happened to me like maybe four times.
I can't recall the last time it happened to me.
Usually, I am not that good of a player to be able to predict those very, very, very specific moves.
Abilities like that are always weird because it's like it's such a niche situation.
Yeah.
That 95% of the time you just won't be using an ability.
This is my Pokemon. It has the ability Pillow and it just will not let you body slam it.
Speaking of pillows, Mike, let's go on a tangent. What new Pokemon did you and your daughter encounter in Pokemon Smile this week?
Did you stop playing? Sweet. Yeah, no, I got you. No, I got you.
This is a new segment on PokeSport.
Oh, we've been going hard on this. Hold on. We have, first of all, more Pokemon than my old phone. At this point, does it show me how many? Yes, it does. There are 155 Pokemon in Pokemon Smile. We now have 9. All right.
Wow.
I believe as of last time we had just caught a Psyduck. Today we went and caught a Tauros, which I had in my last game, but did not port over my save. So as of right now, 9 Pokemon: Tauros, Jinx, Cubone, Magnemite, correct, all Gen 1s, Machop, Psyduck, Spearow, Rattata, and Pidgey.
Okay.
Still all Gen 1s, but we know that Mime Jr.'s in this game.
Yeah, it's so Gen 1s and Mime Jr.
I am going to work my way up to Mime Jr.
155.
Every single night, she comes up to me, including tonight when I was downstairs preparing for recording PokeSports. I wasn't going to do it with her tonight. She busts through the door. She kicks it down. She's really strong. She comes in. She's like, "Daddy, I wanna do the brushing teeth game." That's what she calls it. And I'm like, okay.
Is she learning the names?
I don't know. I say it for her every time. She's learning.
Okay.
She asks what they are, and she tells me what letters they have and all that. She spells it out for me, but I think she just kind of like repeats it once after I say it, and then that's it. I don't know if she actually remembers. I'll check with her. I'll see what which ones she knows.
Gotta give her a quiz. Pikachu. Give her a quiz.
Yeah, exactly. Which Pokemon do you have? Tell me about your pets that you obtained from brushing teeth.
Pokemon was the original NFT, if we all really think about it.
I mean, you're not wrong. And there are people who have made quite a bit of money off of collecting these Pokemon. Go on eBay right now and look up Shiny Ditto.
Shiny Ditto?
Shiny Ditto. So that's that. I didn't finish actually all of the version exclusives. So Brilliant Diamond, there's only three more. One of them is Dialga. I mean, Stunky and Skuntank.
Oh boy.
Woo. Or, I mean, if Pearl's more your jam, you can go for Glammeow and Perugly.
Oh. Those are counterparts. Those are counterparts. I will tell you this. Perugly is deceptively fast.
You know what? You're not wrong, but yeah, that's true. 112 base speed.
Yeah, like why? You outspeed very fast Pokemon in the game.
You know what's funny? Of all of the version exclusives shown so far, Perugly is the fastest.
You outspeed legendary dragons, Hydreigon.
You outspeed all of the birds, Lugia. And Palkia.
You are the fastest tubby cat. I've never seen Garfield go so fast. Other than that, it's bad, but it is just kind of picking between bad and bad.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a good Pokemon for sure.
It's just deceptive. What I will say this about, just to put a point in Skuntank's favor. Skuntank is the worst Pokemon of all time in Nuzlocke because of Aftermath. Same thing with Drifblim.
Oh, you're right.
Like, it brings you low and you only got one Mon, you're in trouble. Something's dead.
Oh no. Oh no, and I'm playing that one. That's not good.
Oh, yeah, you're in
Aftermath
that game.
Is a very good Pokemon, a very good ability. It's a very bad
ability.
It's a very good ability for Skuntank. It's a very bad ability for me.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it on my team because that means you just get one use of it.
You'll only ever use it, your ability, once.
Oh, I would, though. I would absolutely bring it in on a Nuzlocke just to make it explode. But I would like have to choose the right moment.
On your team.
Have to choose the right moment for Skuntank to explode.
You put it right there on the front lines. It's like going into a project knowing you're not going to come out alive.
Right. Oh my God. That's going to be so funny. I'm absolutely doing that. Folks, you heard it here first on the podcast.
If you get it.
My goal, I'm making it a goal now, is to find a Stunky, evolve it into a Skuntank, and like build it up only to make it explode at the most opportune moment.
For Dialga.
I'll do it. Not for Dialga. No way. I want to catch a Dialga.
I'm going to use it Dialga.
On the. I gotta just master ball that guy. I want to use that on like the last person in the Elite Four.
That's how you're going out.
Around. That's how I'm going out. That's how I'm gonna win.
And
this.
We have to have a funeral for your Stunky at the end of the whole. The whole Nuzlocke, we're just going to have an episode just for Stunky.
In memoriam. Exactly. That is so funny. I can't wait. Okay, so there's that. Also, this is all kind of tying into.
You missed one. Never mind.
Palkia.
No, well, I guess. I was gonna say, for some reason, my brain. I thought the mystery gifts were exclusives, but they're not. They're exclusive to games.
Tell me about those. I don't know about those.
Oh, well, Mew and Jirachi are mystery gifts in this game.
Ooh.
And if you have Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee saved on your Switch device, then you get a Mew. If you have Sword and Shield, you get a Jirachi.
That's fun.
For free. And
Why are you laughing, Kevin?
I'll tell you later. It's a spoiler.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you later. It's funny. It's just a very weird time that you get them. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I would have loved to have gotten a Mew / Jirachi at the very beginning of the game.
Well, you won't be disappointed.
Are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me right now?
Game's easy, guys.
That's so funny. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to just run through a Nuzlocke with a Jirachi and then have it killed.
We have
and
to have
be incredibly sad about it.
We have to have a rule against this.
Yeah.
Nuzlocke's are not fun unless somebody dies.
You might want to have no legendaries there. Yeah.
We'll just wonder trade it if there's wonder trade. Here, guys.
Oh, no, I don't.
No,
I will not. Oh yeah, okay, well that's fair. That's actually good for Nuzlocke. I like that, where like you don't have to release them anymore, just wonder drain them. Oh, and then fair. Release yeah. Whatever Weedle you get, because you know you're not going back to it after that anyway. Romanus Park is a thing in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. It replaces Pal Park, which was just kind of a place where you could go and catch random old Pokemon. You can still do that. There's like a interesting little mechanic with like slates, I think.
Yeah, they look like the Game Boy cartridges.
I don't know if that's actually part of the park or if that's part of something else.
I'm not entirely sure either, but I know that you use the slates in order to unlock a battle with the legendaries.
Right.
That are in the game.
Right. So this is kind of how you... collect your national decks or whatever version of the national decks is in BDSP once you've completed your Sinnoh decks, which I can't imagine is that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Just involves a little bit of trading with a friend. You hop on into the Romanus Park and go and catch a bunch of, you know, different Pokemon that you hadn't seen in your original game.
I think they made this on purpose because the national dex is going to be pretty much obtainable, you know, barring any version exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
Once you beat the game. I know they use the underground for a lot of that.
What does that mean, obtainable?
Like,
compared to what? Are they not obtainable in any game?
Well, I mean, an example, Gen 3 had a national dex, but not all the Pokemon were able to be brought to that game. Unless you brought them over from Gen 2.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, you can have a national dex, not have it be obtainable in the game until home opens up.
Oh, yuck. Mm-hmm. Right. True.
Kind of like what
Sword Shield is. And that's not going to happen because I think everybody knows, including Ilka and including all the people working on Pokemon, that as soon as home opens up, you're going to be moving your Pokemon off of
BDSP.
BDSP. I can't imagine a world where I'm trying to move my Pokemon into that game from other games.
Yeah. I mean, if they didn't have every Pokemon be obtainable, that would just make no sense. Good news for the shiny hunting community. There's like the shiny radars in the game.
Oh, good.
Because like they have like complete functionality. I mean, people expected it to be in the game because, you know, it was in the original games. So you're gonna have a new method of shiny hunting. Have fun, guys.
Mm. Hmm. Well, I mean, there are a couple of things that people can look forward to as well, right? Like if you look at, you can finally see some old Pokemon that you haven't seen before, or haven't seen in a little while. Like
Turtwig.
Like I was gonna say Fortress. That's not the final evolution of Turtwig.
No, that's Torterra.
Torterra.
You're gonna see Mike, I guess we should decide this now.
What?
What starters are we going for a Nuzlocke, man? This is the one decision we can actually make. The rest is all random chance.
So
I'm gonna put pressure on you. I'll choose the one that's weak to yours. I'll give myself the handicap.
I'm gonna be the Gary?
No. Oh yeah. You're gonna be the strong.
Wow.
You're gonna get the strong type.
Wow.
Because we gotta battle each other in these episodes.
Okay. Okay. You know what? When I played this through last, I remember I picked Piplup because I usually pick the water starter. So I think I will pick, but I really don't want you to pick Monferno. I was going to choose Turtwig, but I really don't want you to pick
Monferno.
You
want to give me a fire type?
is there too much water in BDSP?
You got Floatzel, you get Magikarp really early. It'll be really bad in the beginning.
Yeah, that's really true.
There is water. There's a water gym, so yeah, I guess there has to be water somewhere.
Yeah.
The water gym is the last gym, though.
I don't, you know what? It's the stipulation that you're going to pick the thing that mine is weak to.
No.
That.
Yeah. No. Other way around.
Okay. Actually,
I'm picking the weaker one.
You're picking the weaker one. True. Okay. I'll pick Turtwig.
You're taking Turtwig. So I'm taking Piplup.
We are just leaving Chimchar out of this. Chimchar has no...
There's no fire types in this game, and me and Mike made the decision to not use fire types.
Nah. We're choosing Moltres, baby. Moltres and Entei, that's going to be our fire types.
I guess so. Okay, so I'm doing Piplup. That's cute. I mean, I don't mind Piplup, but you're just going to destroy me. Episode 1. Oh, you know what? Okay. Whatever
they don't do element attacks in Gen 4 for a little while, do they? There's no leafage anymore.
You remember Gen 8 moves were ported in. So there is leafage, there is whatever it was, bubble.
And okay, so there's no getting away from this.
No.
It's either bubble, ember, or leafage. Wow.
Yeah, the good news is, and you can't change because you've already said this live on a podcast. Starly is in the first route. So if I get lucky and I get a Starly, I at least have something against your Turtwig.
I will never financially recover from this.
Just because you chose Turtwig, you're going to get a Bidoof, Mike, right away.
No.
Off the bat.
Oh, no.
We're going to get double doofed.
Double doofed. I wish that this episode wasn't named what it is, because I would absolutely name it Double Doofed. But instead, that's what the Peach is going to be called. So I hope everybody goes and looks forward to that. That's going to be a fun Peach. Do we have anything more on BDSP?
Things on... also, if you play the game early, you get a Manaphy for free.
They're just giving stuff away.
I mean, at this point, yeah. Why not? Game's easy enough. Here's a bunch of Legends. It looks like Legends Arceus had... I guess there's nothing really meaningful, but maybe you guys care. You get a Shaymin Landform and Kimono. Ooh. In Legends Arceus, if you have Sword and Shield, save, and a Pikachu or Eevee mask in Let's Go, save. Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. There's some screenshots. You guys go check it out at SarahB.com. And, you know, free Legendary Shaymin.
It's SarahB.net.
I mean, whose fault is that? Joe's or mine?
Also, one last bit of news that I'm personally very excited about. Decidueye. This came out like seconds after we finished the Peach last week. But Decidueye is a new character in Pokemon Unite. Will be released on the same day as BDSP, funny enough. But no one will be playing Unite because everyone's playing BDSP. It's a ranged character, kind of, in Pokemon Unite, which we've been missing.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys are familiar with like League of Legends, I'm not so sure about Dota. It gets me like some Xayah vibes. It's like you have ranged attacks that also have little tiny little flutters that shoot off of them, just like additional damage.
It is a little weird because it doesn't look like they target the Pokemon that you're targeting.
They just target randomly, right? They just shoot away and fire off into nothingness.
Which I don't know if that means that if you catch a Pokemon alone, that you'll be able to hit them and then hit them again with your secondary shot. But I don't really understand the appeal of pulling aggro from other like jungle.
Okay, Pokemon. Ninetales player.
I hate that. You know, so now we've just got another Pokemon that does it. The like forward straight wing flap attack, like that looks pretty okay.
I will say this. Normally with the Pokemon that get released, you know, me and Mike will always be the ones to say, oh, it's broken. I'm not getting that vibe yet from this thing. Mostly because I feel like when you're an attacker and when you focus on auto attacks, your ability should be more to evade rather than do damage because your primary source of damage is the A button.
Yes.
I'm not seeing a lot of evasion. I'm seeing a very immobile character. There is like a fly, but that's more of like an engage. It's not more of a, let me try to get out of here.
Yeah. Not much of a disengaging Pokemon. Mm-hmm. The Unite move as well looks a little interesting. Like it's a Razor Leaf from Venusaur.
Yeah, but, and you are completely out in the open with it too.
Like
you're stuck shooting for like 3 seconds.
It doesn't look like you can move when you use it, just based on the reveal trailer. Maybe you can, who knows? But if you are just kind of stuck there firing off arrows like boodly 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 for like 5-6 seconds and then firing off one big arrow, it's just like you're setting yourself up to be surrounded. Mm-hmm. Like they're just not gonna walk in that line.
It's also awkward because using your Unite move is supposed to give you movement speed, so that's kind of wasted with this Pokemon
because
you're standing still.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I mean, like, it can be said that there are Pokemon like Venusaur or Cramorant where you don't really get that until after you're done the move.
That's fair, yeah.
But for sure, like, this move lasts way too long. Like, Venusaur, Cramorant, Cramorant's a little different, but Venusaur, like, you can be finished with the attack portion of the Unite move within, like, a second or two. Mm-hmm. Cramorant, you just don't want to be in the general vicinity of it, so it's more like everyone else is trying to run away. But with Decidueye, like, it's just sending out this straight line. People sidestep that and then just start running toward it, and they're totally safe to do that.
Yeah. I'm wondering, can you flash after doing, because I know how you can flash with Cramorant and still continue the ult and actually extend its range. I'm wondering if you can just like flash while channeling the Decidueye ult too. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to if they work the same.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, I love Decidueye as a Pokemon. I wasn't impressed by the trailer. I'll probably hate him once I play against him, though, because there's just going to be one bonkers player that
will destroy
me.
There has not been a single new Pokemon that came out that isn't good. Mm-hmm. Like, they've all been great so far. So I'm not expecting Decidueye to be bad at all. I just think that, again, the reveal trailer was just not indicative of the Pokemon at all.
What? How are they going to stop this tank meta that we've been talking about for months, man?
More things like this.
I mean,
more things like Decidueye.
I think they need to introduce an item that shreds armor. Would that be too much to ask for?
Like, I think
crits League don't shred armor. Yeah.
Right. Right. Crits are not the way to go. I think League of Legends kind of figured it out well because they have a full building full of people whose job it is to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Where you have crits, but you also have armor penetration and you also have armor like reduction.
Yeah.
Which they overcomplicated once in the past and then they just kind of amalgamated it all into armor pen.
Yeah.
And lethality. Yeah. That's right. So like I feel like they need to do something like that in Pokemon Unite where you can just lower the armor or do like a percentage of HP with a hit. Something like that. Just something that'll take down tanks at the same rate that it would take down a normal like attacker or speedster.
I want to see like a Vayne type champion too. Like that one.
Yeah.
The true damage. 1-2.
Which is weird because every Pokemon is kind of like that, right? Like every Pokemon has a third auto attack that does something different.
I want one that does true damage.
Feel great. Yeah. Just one of them that does like 5% of your health, regardless if you're a like speedster or a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Just true damage, 5% every single time.
They should hire us. Pokemon Unite, you hearing us? Are you out there?
What? We're just gonna sit in their boardroom, like Cheez-Its in like in a bowl. And they're gonna come in and be like, how do we fix this, man? We're just gonna be like, hey, listen, we got you. Just chomping on the cheeses the entire time. We're the ideas guys.
So what makes you qualified? We got a podcast.
Hey, podcast. We got a podcast.
We got to Masters once and then you changed it.
We got to Masters really quick before everybody else came into the game and then yes.
I played Gengar.
I played Gengar day one. I am Kevin and I played Gengar day one. You're hired.
I'm the reason you patched it.
And I'm the reason you've done nothing to Ninetales because I've just been average the whole time.
It's funny because if you actually look at Ninetales and Gardevoir stats side to side by Unite,
mm-hmm.
Ninetales has +1 to every stat that Gardevoir has. And wow. I just have to think, why? Surely it must be game code. Like the game will break if they're identical. They'll like they might read it as the same Pokemon, so they have to be like one off.
Maybe. Maybe you can trick the RAM somehow. I don't know.
Your Switch explodes. Do you know coding at all?
No.
I'm trying to understand why it's a big deal. Maybe I'm sorry if I'm sounding ignorant to people out there that know coding. Why is
we
it
know
a big
who do?
Why is it a big deal that BDSP is on Unity? Is that, it easier to mod because it's on a familiar? It's probably easier to mod. Also, probably why it was released so early online.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Unity is like the most popular developer software.
Switch
out there.
Uses Real Engine a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is on Unity. So it probably is that people have most experience with this. So content creators are excited because they get their fancy new ROM hacks earlier on.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear that from the people in the audience. I have my suspicions that could be completely wrong, but I'd love to hear from people. I feel like if it's between Unity and Unreal Engine, it's like both of those are widely known.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard that too, where people are just really excited that it'll be on Unity.
Oh, I think I just had a brain blast.
Yeah.
Because with Pokemon games like Insurgents and like really good ROM hacks that were just their own thing.
Okay.
You now have Pokemon assets saved
on Unity.
On Unity. So it's going to be really easy to just make a game. Because all the assets are there and existing.
Kevin, I think you might have gotten it. I think that, yeah, honestly, that got me excited for
Pokemon I'm excited. Unity.
Suzurain, I wonder if that was difficult. I wonder if that was difficult to move all of the existing assets from like Sword and Shield and all that over to Unity. Like all the Pokemon attacks and stuff.
Well, maybe that's why they all have new animations this time around, because it wasn't easy. Maybe this game was a lot harder to make than we think. Well, that's why it needs a day one patch.
I will say this talking about this has kind of put this game in a different lens for me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be thinking about this differently while I'm playing the game.
I wish I knew how to code. Hey, Pierre, can you code us a Poke Sports game? You get to choose, instead of choosing a starter, you get to choose me, Mike, or Tofu.
Fair. Cool. All right. And with that, let's call that an episode.
I'd say so.
If you enjoyed, please do make sure to, I was going to say hit the like button and subscribe for all that, but I was also playing around with my audio mixer, and for some reason I was scared that I lost all my recording, but I didn't. We're still here. Hi, everybody. If you enjoyed, please do make sure to go and tell your friends. New games coming out, and if they need a Pokemon podcast, it'll be in it with them as they go and progress through the game, trying to see if they can make it competitive. We're right there with you. So, you can find us in all places where you find your podcasts. You can find us on Twitter at PokeSportsPod or Instagram at PokeSportsPodcast. If you feel like supporting us over what we do with PokeSports and the fun holiday season that we have coming up, you can do so at patreon.com/PokeSportsPodcast, where we have the league and the peach, where people are about to get double doofed in just a couple minutes. So get ready to get double doofed.
Is Clarence returning this year, Mike, or is that confidential information?
Listen, I got off the phone with him a little while ago.
How's he doing?
I don't know, man. There's something going on with that guy. There's something happening. I'm not sure. It sounded like there was fog rolling in. I don't know how it sounded like that, but that's the impression that I got. It was just very mysterious. That's all I can say.
I'm terrified.
As one should be. Kevin, you got anything to plug?
My Roomba into the wall. We've gone full circle. Here we are. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. That's
if you guys are listening to this, there might be a versus Nuzlocke on the YouTube channel. Go check it out.
Okay.
Soonish.
Cool. And with that, well, yeah, soonish. And with that, we'll see you next time. Take care. Drive safe. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.